It would be superfluous for me to say that I am happy to be here this morning, because at my age, I'm happy to be anywhere in the world, okay? but it is a great joy to be here at Worth Baptist Church. I remember, and I don't remember how many years ago, but just a few years ago, and I was here in a mission conference, and Pastor Gillette was my host. He picked me up at the airport. He took me to eat. We did a lot of things together, and I had known him at Crown College, and as I watched his demeanor and all of the different things that he was doing, I told my wife that evening, I said, you know, if when Dr. Weaver retires from the pastorate, if they don't call Brother Gillette, they're going to make a big mistake. Thank God you didn't make a big mistake, amen. So, Brother Gillette, thank you for the opportunity to preach in your pulpit this morning. It's a great joy. You might open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and made my profession of faith in Jesus Christ on October the 8th, 1949. As a 16-year-old teenager. That was a Saturday night, a Youth for Christ meeting. When I awoke on Sunday morning, the first thought I had was, I'm going to church today. That was not a usual thought for Sunday morning for me. I'm going to play basketball today. I'm going to play baseball today. I'm going swimming today. I'm going hiking today. And I could have had any other thoughts on an average Sunday morning. But that Sunday morning, the first thing that happened when I woke up was, I'm going to church. Now, at that time, I did not know 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But from the time that I got saved in 1949 until this day, I love church. I mean, I sat here this morning and I listened to the announcements. I listened to Dr. Barber. I listened to the singing, the choir. And I love to hear the choir, but I love congregational singing because that way I get to sing. Nobody hears it, but I get to sing. Amen. And I thought, I love church. I love church. From the time that I got saved and joined the Nortonville Baptist Church, I went to church on Sunday morning. I went to church on Sunday night. I went to Sunday school. I went to training union. I went to prayer meeting. I went to revival meetings and so on and so forth. In other words, I just love church. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. I love church. I don't understand why anybody should have to be begged to come to church. Amen. I love God's people. I love to be with God's people. I'm in church about every night of the week somewhere. A lady said to me one time, Brother Sisk, I like your preaching, but you seem to have too much fun in the pulpit. And I said, I'm in the pulpit all the time. If I don't have time in the pulpit, if I don't have fun in the pulpit, I can't have fun at all. Amen. But I love church. I've been thinking recently on this thought. What kind of church do we need in the 21st century? I've been to church planning conferences. I've sat in leadership meetings. I've attended pastor schools. And I appreciate every effort to encourage the emphasis of the importance of the local church. And as I read my Bible and as I look at the world that we are living in, I am more convinced that the kind of church that we need for the 21st century is the same kind of church that they had for the first century. Now, we hear people describing their church. Our church is a contemporary church. Our church is a traditional church. Our church is a seeker sensitive, you know, all kind of things and so forth. But I thank God that I can say that I'm a member of, and you folks are a part of, a New Testament church. Amen. In other words, the kind of church that they had in the first century. So look at the reading of God's word. And if you would like and you're able, would you stand with me? And I'm beginning in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word. And by the way, this comes right after the wonderful message that the Apostle Peter had preached on the day of Pentecost that Dr. Barber so eloquently quoted for us today. Right after that great sermon. And those people were convicted of their sins. And the Bible says in verse 4, then they that gladly received his word, the words that Peter had preached, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Dear Lord, I thank you for the infallible and inerrant, inspired word of God that we have in our hand today. Use it for your honor and glory to touch the hearts of your people and to bring salvation to those that do not know you. And we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. What kind of church was the first century church? Number one, it was a church that was made up of saved believers. People who had heard the word of God, Peter preaching. They had been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God of their sin. And by the way, if there is no conviction of sin, there is no conversion of the soul. They had been convicted. Peter preached very plainly. You have crucified the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. By wicked hands you have taken him and crucified him. He was buried and he was resurrected from the grave. By the way, that's the gospel, amen. He preached the gospel and they were convicted. And they said, okay, what do we have to do? Repent and be baptized, everyone, for the remission of sin and so forth. And the Bible says, they that gladly received his word, in other words, the ones who trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, were baptized. They received the word of Peter had preached. He had preached the gospel. They believed that, and they were saved. Somebody has well said, there's only three kinds of people in the world. There are believers, there are unbelievers, and there are make-believers, okay? And so you can choose where you are today. Either you are saved and on your way to heaven, or you are lost and on your way to hell. Either you are saved and you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you are lost and you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But wait a minute, I've got good news for you this morning. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this can be the best hour of your entire life. The Bible says of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. In other words, this morning, if you realize you're a sinner and on your way to hell and will trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this very moment, you will become a child of God. It was made up of a saved membership. By the way, It doesn't do anyone any good to join a church or to be baptized or to do anything else for their salvation before they have been saved by the grace of God. Where are you this morning? Are you a believer? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are you an unbeliever? And by the way, all of us were one time. Are you an unbeliever? Maybe somebody's here today, you're a make-believer. You've made a profession of faith, but you have never really trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This ought to be the good day that you do that very thing. They were saved. Number two, they were baptized. Now, they didn't get baptized in order to get saved. They got baptized because they were saved. And baptism has absolutely no part whatsoever in our salvation. But it has everything to do with our being obedient to the Lord and following Him as He has taught us to do. And you read the Bible, every time somebody got saved, immediately they wanted to get baptized. Here, 3,000 people got saved and they got baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved and he said, "What does forbid me to be baptized? Here's water, let's do it," okay? The Philippian jailer got saved, he got baptized. A fellow said to me one day, he said, "Brother Seth, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized, and I don't think baptism is necessary. After all, the thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized." And I said, "Are you a thief on the cross? If you are, it's okay if you don't get baptized, okay? But if you've been saved by the grace of God, then in order to follow Him, you ought to be baptized. In other words, follow Him in scriptural baptism." They were saved. They were baptized. And not only that, look at verse 42, if you would. "And they continued steadfast." What kind of church was the first century church? It was a church that was made up of saved people. It was a church that once they got saved, they continued. Notice, if you would, some words, okay? "They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine." In other words, Peter, James, John, the other apostles, they taught them. Now, they did not have the printed Bible, but thank God today we have the printed Word of God. We have the words of the apostles, the inspired words of the apostles in the Word of God. "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine." We have a saying in Japan that goes like this: "Osakana o taberu yoni, seisho tabinasai." You say, "Well, what in the world does that mean?" Let me interrupt, okay? You should read the Bible the way you eat fish. And in Japan, they eat fish every day, and they eat a whole lot of it. Amen. Hey, by the way, you can't get too much of the Bible. You ought to read it as a personal reading. You ought to read it with your family. And I know this is a little bit old-fashioned, but I believe that every day, every man, every woman, and their children ought to get together and read the Word of God. And they ought to pray together. Somebody says, "Well, we just don't have time for that." It doesn't take near as much time to have family devotion as it does for divorce. It doesn't take near as much time to have family devotion as it does for juvenile court. By the way, there is a connection between the two, amen. Read the Bible, study it, come to church, listen to Sunday school, church service, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, everything. Just get totally involved in the work of God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in fellowship. They loved one another. They got together. They continued in the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. They continued in the breaking of the bread. They ate food together and so forth. And then they continued in prayer. What kind of a church was the first century church? It was a praying church. A praying church. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody, okay? If I get sick, I want you to pray for me. But I was in a prayer meeting just last week, And on the prayer list, there were 42 names of people that had fallen or was sick or in the hospital or something. And not one person that was lost that they were praying for. They were a praying church. I am convinced they prayed for the power of God for their church. I am convinced that they prayed for their lost neighbors, their lost friends, their lost loved ones. I heard this statement the other day. We spend more time praying to keep the saints out of heaven than we do sinners out of hell. Show me your prayer list. Who are you praying for? Hey, you can do a lot more after you pray, but you cannot do more before you pray than to pray. It was a praying church. And by the way, the power of the church is the power of prayer. It was an influential church. Look at verse 43. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. In other words, people even outside of the church realized that these people are different from the rest of the world. In other words, they made an impact on their society. And I'm afraid, and I'll say more about this tonight, but I'm afraid that the fact that the church looks so much like the world today is the reason that so many people outside of the church have contempt for the church. They were an influential church. They were a generous church. Look at verse 44. And all that believed, all of the Christians, everybody that got saved, all of those people that got baptized, notice what happened. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Think about that. They were people that after they got saved, they realized that, number one, everything I have is a gift from God. And by the way, whether you've ever admitted it or not, everything you have is a gift from God. All good and perfect gifts come from God, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, everything I have comes from God. Now, God gives me the possessions that I have, the money that I have, whatever I have, in other words. He gives it so I can take care of my life, I can take care of my family, and so forth. But then after that, I think that the only real purpose for money and materialistic thing is to do the work of God. I wonder what would happen at Worth Baptist Church or any other church if all of us realized that, hey, God has put all of these things in my hand, but it's not just for me. It is so I can take care of myself, I can take care of my family, but it's so that I can invest in the work of God. Amen. Now, these were Jewish believers. They didn't have any problem with tithing, okay? By the way, wouldn't it be great if every member of Worth Baptist Church was a tither? They didn't have any problem with tithing, but this is not a matter of tithing. They would give their tithes to the temple and so forth, but it was a matter of saying, hey, my brother has need. There's a need on the mission field. There's a need here. Whatever they need, whatever I have, it is in God's hand. It does not belong to me. I am simply a steward, and I'm going to use it for the glory of God. That probably increase our mission giving, amen. That would probably increase our ministry as far as our own local church and so forth. If all of us just realize that everything I have is from God and I'm to use it for the glory of God. Then thank God it was a church of joyful people. I've said this for years and I believe it from the depth of my heart. The greatest advertisement for Christianity is a happy Christian. I mean, I look at some Christians and I think, if that's what it did for you, I'm not sure I want it, amen? And you say, well, I've got joy in my heart. Well, let your face know it, amen? They were a bunch of joyful people. Look at verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness of and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. In other words, they were just a group of people that loved to get together. They loved to sing. They loved to praise God. But by the way, evidently, they didn't just do it on Sunday morning. They did it all the time. They had been saved by the grace of God. Hey, by the way, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, that's something to rejoice about every day. Amen. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ought to rejoice in that every day. Hey, there should be no problem for any born-again child of God to find something every hour to praise God for. They were being blessed of God. They were enjoying being with one another. In other words, it was a joyful church. But then the last thing is this. It was a victorious church. They weren't a church that was looking back. They were a church that was growing and going forward for the glory of God. By the way, the Bible tells us that Christ died for his church. He loved the church. The Bible tells us that God said to his church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, the church is not sitting still, but the church is moving forward for the glory of God. And as we move forward for the glory of God, even the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. I love these words. Listen to it. Praising God and having favor with all of the people. And the Lord added to the church every revival meeting, they that were being saved. Is that what your Bible says? If it is, you have a real bad translation. Amen. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You say, hey, Brother C.S., if people were getting saved on a daily basis, if there were hundreds and thousands, and by the way, they were being saved, then those apostles must have been great soul winners. And by the way, I believe that they were great soul winners. Remember, Jesus said to Peter and John and James and John and Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I believe they were great soul winners. But I don't believe the reason that all these people were being saved were because the apostles were great soul winners. By the way, the position of the pastor and the preachers and so forth is not just to win souls. It is to train the people of God for the work of the ministry. In other words, people were getting saved. Think about it. 3,000 people got saved. And they went out and they told other people how to get saved. And they brought them to the house of God. And daily people were being saved. What kind of church does the 21st century need? I believe it needs the same kind of church that the first century had. Now here's the question. Think about it. If every church member was just like me, what kind of a church would my church be? Okay? What kind of church do you want Worth Baptist Church to be? If every church member was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Would any lost people ever be invited to church? Would there be any soul-winning ministry? Would there be any Sunday night service? Would there be a Wednesday night prayer meeting? Would the church have money to give to missions and do the work of God if every church member was just like me? I wonder, in the very early days of 2018, if it would not be good for us just to stop and think, what am I adding to Worth Baptist Church? And as we give the invitation in just a moment, think about it. Maybe there's someone here, and I'm positive there are in a group of this set, that has never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Could I say to you this morning, don't gamble with the eternal destiny of your soul. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Listen to just one verse. The wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve, and that's what you deserve. Occasionally I hear somebody say, I just want what I deserve. And every time I hear that, I say, no, you don't either. If I got what I deserved, if you got what you deserved, it doesn't matter who you are, we'd spend eternity in a devil's hell. The wages of sin is death. But aren't you glad for that conjunction? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, God wants to give you something this morning. He doesn't want you to work for it. He don't want you to pay for it. He wants you to receive it. As many as received him, to them gave you the power. If you've been saved, have you been baptized? Then what in the world are you waiting on? One man said to me one time, he said, Brother Sears, I've never been baptized. I want you to pray with me about it. And I said, there's no need to pray about it. God said, do it. Amen. So when God tells us to do something, we just do it. Maybe you're saved, but you're not a tither. Maybe you're saved, you're not given a mission. Maybe you're saved, you're a member of the church. By the way, you may be saved and baptized, but you're not a member of a church where you attend. Then you ought to get in wherever you are for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Think with me. Are you saved? Do you know you're saved and going to heaven? If not, I hope this will be the good day in just a moment when we begin to sing the invitation that you'll come forward and let somebody take the Bible, God's word, and tell you how you can know you're saved and going to heaven and pray with you. And you can leave here this morning knowing that all your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home, and that you're right with God. If you're not where God wants you to be as a church member, you are to come and get in this altar today and make some commitments to God. I'm going to be what I know God wants me to be. Dear Lord, we thank you for the message of the Word of God, not just the messenger, not just what somebody would say, but Lord, just what thus saith the Word of God. Dear Lord, I plead this morning for those that are here that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May this be the good hour, the good day, that they will come confessing their sins, repenting of their sins, and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for our church members that need to make commitments and decisions this morning. I pray, dear Lord, you'll speak to their heart, help them to be obedient to you. And we'll praise you, dear Lord, for whatever you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. And our music director will lead us in an invitational song. If you're here this morning as a child of God, you've never been baptized, you're to come and do that. You're here this morning and you're a saved person, you've been baptized, but you're not a member of a church you regularly attend, why don't you come and unite with a good Bible-believing church this morning? You're here this morning, there are other decisions as a Christian you need to make. You come. But most of all, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus. That's the purpose of Worth Baptist Church. That's what it's all about, to tell you how you can know you're saved and going to heaven. As we begin to sing and God speaks to your heart, you come today.